How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Are you glad to be here? All right. We're thankful for the privilege of being able to stand here before you and tell about Jesus. Not too long ago, we was over in Europe trying to tell about Jesus. And I noticed that the enthusiasm of those people in some parts of Europe and over in Israel was more outstanding toward expectation for revival than the people of America. There was people there in Europe that told me, they said, "Brother Pike, we are expecting God to do something in Europe." Said, "We believe a great and mighty sweeping revival is going to break out in Europe." And you know, that's the way to get something from God, is come expecting something from God. Is that right? You got to expect something from God. And you never seen a mother bring forth unless she's expecting. And it's the same way with the church. When Zion travails, she brings forth her sons and daughters. And when we come expecting from God, we always get something from God. All right. I want to read just a little bit to you tonight. We've got some things on our heart that maybe we can share with you. The book of Galatians, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to chapter 3 and let's listen now. You know, we rejoice in the Spirit, stir ourselves up, and God does great things for us. And the way to really have the Spirit and really get something from God is to listen to the Word of God. See, the Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word. Come on now. In the beginning was the Word. Is that right? Not emotion. It wasn't in the beginning as emotion. Is that right? It wasn't in the beginning as a shout. All that's good. It wasn't in the beginning a healing or a discernment. But in the beginning was the Word. That's what needs the preeminence in the church, is the Word. And then when we hear the Word, then we can shout, holler, jump, and David said, run through a troop, leap over a wall. Then we can have miracles and signs and wonders and discernment, and it'll be God in the arrangements. But we got to get the Word. Is that right? How do you know the devil works miracles too? Lying, signs, and wonders. How do you know that the devil's got a doctrine? The Bible speaks of doctrines of devils. But see, we want the Word. Isn't that right? Not witchcraft, but the Word. Like Brother Eldridge tonight and Brother Butler, rejoicing in the Lord. That's what we want. See, the Word of God makes us be filled with joy. That's what we want. All right, now, you know that's strange that I should be talking like that, not knowing that it's going to read from this passage of Scripture? That's what Paul was speaking of. And here in the first chapter, or the third chapter of the first verse here now, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You didn't know people would bewitch you, did you? Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathens through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. And so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by an angel in the hands of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all unto sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's reading quite a bit of Scripture here. Have a little problem with the literature sometimes laying up here. I have to move it around a little. Here, the greatest, one of the greatest men of God that ever lived on the face of the earth is preaching a message to the Galatian people. Paul the Apostle, not only was Paul one of the greatest ministers that ever lived or ever walked the earth, but Paul was the apostle to you and to I. Is that right? Paul was the apostle to the Gentile church. He wasn't just another preacher, but he was the apostle to the Gentile church. I want you to notice something tonight as we begin to get into our message. Paul was different in some ways from Peter, because Paul was what we refer to as a revelator. You understand what I'm saying? Paul was a revelator, and yet Paul was the revelational preacher to the Gentile church. You know, it's amazing, Brother Eldridge, to look around and see that the church of today doesn't practice revelation any more than they do. It's hard to understand why that they do not believe in revelation more, or why they do not study and practice revelation more. Because Paul was a revelator, and he was the one that set up the Gentile church. And he is our apostle. And he taught that the church was to be a church founded upon revelation. And that the whole church, the whole Gentile church, was to be translated and taken out of this world someday by the Spirit of God through the divine unction of spiritual revelation. Now, inasmuch as Paul was our apostle, then if we do away with Paul, then there is no church. If we do away with revelation, then there is no message. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then we must, out of necessity, for the sake of our soul, understand what he meant when he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. If you don't have the spirit of revelation, then let God grant it to you tonight. So we see here, there is a great apostle preaching to the Galatian people. He's been back to the Galatian people. He preached a great message, and they started off in the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, you understand what I'm saying? See, the Bible tells us that the law and the prophets were until Christ. But after that Christ has come, then Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the letter that killeth. And so then when Christ has come, then the Bible tells us that we are free from the curse of the law, and that we are Christians, our sons and daughters of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's don't misconstrue what I'm saying tonight. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if it's just a matter of having faith, the Baptists believe, the Methodists believe, the Presbyterians believe, the Pentecostals believe, the Catholics believe. Now, so some of us say, if it's just a matter of believing, that means all of us are on our way to heaven. If that be the case, then there's no need of Brother Pike preaching and nobody else. See, it's all taken care of. But now, we don't want to misconstrue what's being said tonight. See, the law and the prophets were until Jesus. John ended the law and the prophets. But it says that we were under a schoolmaster, under the law and the prophets, which was a schoolmaster, until the bar mitzvah, which is the old Jewish ritualistic of taking the son out publicly and announcing that he is a son. You follow me? Now, we were under the law, we were under the prophets, until the time appointed to the Father. See, but when Christ came, then the faith. You understand what I'm saying? Not Brother Pike believing in Christ, not the Methodist believing in Christ, not the Baptist believing in Christ, but the faith of Jesus Christ. You understand the difference now? See, the Bible said, shut up under the law until the time appointed to the Father, which was the coming of the faith. Not my faith, your faith, their faith, or the faith of the Baptist church or the Methodist church, but the faith of Jesus Christ. See, the Bible said the faith by which ye are sanctified. The faith by which you are sanctified. I'm not sanctified by the faith of the different denominations. I'm not sanctified by some denominational or non-denominational movement. But I am sanctified by the faith that the Son of God had in the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? He had such staunch faith. Jesus had such faith in His Heavenly Father, in the Spirit, that He never wavered one time. He never wavered one time during His whole life. Not one time did He ever waver. He kept staunch faith in the eternal Spirit. He'd done exactly what the Father said. The Bible, there in one place, Jesus speaking, said, I do always the thing that I see my Heavenly Father do. And His faith never wavered. Every jot, every tittle, everything that God required, Jesus did it. So then, that faith which Jesus had was what saved me. Come on now, you understand what I'm saying? Not Brother Pike's faith, but Christ's faith. See, my faith can't save me, but the faith of Christ saved me. We were under the law, shut up until the time of the faith. See, shut up until the time of the faith. That's why the apostle said, contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints of God. We were shut up under the law, under tutors, until the time appointed to the Father, and then the faith come. Now I'm going to say something here that might excite you just a little bit. Might cause questions to rise up in your heart. But remember in the days of Noah, how many people were saved in the days of Noah? 8 people. Is that right? All right. Just 8 people. Many, many thousands of people. For 120 years, nor ministered to them. But only 8 people were saved in the days of Noah. Then what happened? Suddenly we come down to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. When we come down to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, how many people were saved? Only 4 people. Only 4 people came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now listen, 8 people in the days of Noah. Then God cut it half in two. Then the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was only 4 people that were saved. Then we come on down and we see the next great deliverance. We come down to the days when Moses went down to the land of Egypt and delivered many, multiplied thousands of people. But how many of those people went into Canaan land? Only 2 of those people. You see, God started with 8. That was too many. He cut it down to 4. That was too many. The next thing He did, He cut it down to 2. Now we've come to today. Going to be another great deliverance. First it was 8 that was saved. Next it was 4 that was saved. Next it was 2 that was saved. So because today there's only one that can be saved. Out of all humanity, there's only one that can be saved. God must again cut it in halves. How many of us ever saying? Who is that one? And the Bible said, until the seed who the promise was made unto should come, Jesus Christ alone is the only one that can be saved. Just one Christ. The promise was not made unto seeds as of many, but to seeds as of to one. That promise was made unto seeds as of one, even Jesus Christ. So then God has cut it in half again. Only one can be saved today. Who is that? That's the one to whom the promise was made, Jesus the Christ. Only his faith was sufficient. Only the faith of Jesus Christ was sufficient for salvation. So then how did Noah save his family? Because he had faith in God. It wasn't Noah's family that had faith in God. It was Noah that had faith in God. And God had mercy on Noah's family because of Noah's faith. The Bible said Noah was a righteous man. It doesn't say his family was a righteous people. So then God had mercy. Is that right? Isn't that the same way with Lot? The Bible said that righteous man's soul was vexed from day to day. Is that right? So it was with Moses. And today, Jesus. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean that unless we today are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, unless we are the body of the Lord Jesus, membership of that body, unless we are flesh and bone of that body, unless we are the members of the Christ, then we cannot be saved. For the promise is not to many but one. That is the body of Jesus. That's why Paul said that it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth within me. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. He said, I am bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. It is not me, but it's Christ. He said that when we preached, it is not you speaking, but it is the Heavenly Father speaking from within you. For God is within his temple, let all the world keep silent. One body can be saved. Just one body. Because the promise is just to one. Through thy seed, Abraham, Isaac pointing to Jesus Christ, shall all nations be blessed. Tonight, if we are a bodily member, we are all baptized into the body by one Spirit. If we've been baptized into the body, and we are a member of that one body tonight, we can be saved. If we are a member of the body of Jesus tonight, if we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh tonight, if we're filled with his Spirit, his life, his mind tonight, then we can be saved by the faith which is in the Son of God. But brothers and sisters, unless we are a member of the body of Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. You may be a member of the Baptist Church tonight. That's good if they're really preaching the gospel. You may be a member of the Methodist Church tonight. You may be a member of the Catholic Church tonight. But unless you're a member of the body of Jesus, you're lost. Somebody would say when you leave the denominational bodies of this world, they'll say, Brother Pike, you've departed from the faith. But I want you to know that the Baptist cannot say that you've departed from the faith because you leave the Baptist church. The Methodist cannot say truthfully that you've departed from the faith because you leave the Methodist church. Neither can the Catholics say that you've departed from the faith because you leave the Catholic church. But brothers and sisters, when you leave the Word of God, you've departed from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Any time you leave the Word, you've departed from the faith. For faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So then Paul had preached this great message of faith. He had preached the membership of Christ. Told them how that they belong to the body of Jesus. How the promise was not unto seeds of many as but as one, which was the Lord Jesus. And they had to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. They had to be that great body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they were to be partakers of this great promise that God gave to his Son. And then after that Paul had left, Others came in, they began to preach heresy. And then when Paul came back, he was grieved. And he said unto them, "Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish church members. I say to you tonight, foolish church members, why is it that you cannot hear the voice of the living God? Why is it who hath bewitched you? Why is it you cannot find the faith of Christ?" Paul said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, believing in the Word, that you would then turn to the fleshly ordinances and the denominational powers of this world?" All right. "All foolish people," he said. He withstood Peter. Peter, a man with the keys to the kingdom of God. But yet Paul withstood him. He said, "I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. A man that had walked upon the waters. A man that had raised the dead. A man that his shadow could move over people, and people would be so inspired that they'd be healed." But here Paul talks to Peter, and he said, "Peter, I want to ask you a question." And he began to ask him if grace came by the law, or did it come by Jesus Christ? He said, "Peter, if there had been a law that could save mankind," he said, "God would not have given his precious son. I won't frustrate the gospel of Jesus Christ." He said, "Because if righteousness has come by the law, then my Savior came to this world and died in vain. Because we already had the law before we came." Is that right? But he said, "There's never been a law that could save mankind. With all the sprinkling of the blood, with all of the ordinances, it could not save mankind. But," he said, "the law came, Peter, because people transgressed God's desire." He said the law was an open exhibit, a manifestation, a knowledge that made people to know that they were in transgression of God's desire and God's way of life. So then the law was added because of transgression. You understand what I'm saying? Why did Paul say this to Peter? See, when the Jews would come over, Peter would fellowship the Jews and withdraw from the Gentiles, afraid of what the Jews would say. Come on now. Somebody said, "I'm Baptist, and when them Pentecostal people get around, I can't be around them if there's a Baptist brother around." But now, when the Jews wasn't around, old brother Peter would go over and fellowship the Gentiles. Is that right? You know, if there ain't nobody else around, then the Baptists don't mind fellowshipping the Pentecostals. Same way with the Pentecostals, same way with the Methodists. But brothers and sisters, if we've been born to the Spirit of God, we don't need a breach between us. We don't need a barrier between us. It's all right to take children and put them in a fence when they're children. But folks, when children grow up, you can't keep them in a fence. If they've got a neighbor, they're going to climb over the fence and get acquainted. Isn't that right? Under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. I don't discredit any organization, any work that's ever done any good for Jesus Christ. I don't discredit it. It takes a shuck to grow grain. You've got to have a shuck if you ever get an ear corn. Isn't that right? There's got to be a stalk to get a shuck. But brother, when the ear of corn comes, you don't need the shuck and you don't need the stalk. Hallelujah! But what you need is the grain. The Bible said God will send His angels in the end time and gather the grain into the garners and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. The people of this world that reject Christ, they're brute beasts. They're people that's made to be taken and burned, the Bible said. They are those that you feed the husk to. You got a pig. The Bible speaks of the sow going back to wallowing in the mire. It said the dog will return to the vomit. What does a person do? They'll take an old horse, a mule. They'll plow the field. They'll plant the grain. They'll work the field. And what is the reward of the horse and the mule? Feed him the husk. Is that right? Occasionally you give him a little grain. But you feed him the husk. Because he's a beast. He's made for that purpose. God has so let the intellectual powers of this world establish a system that is nothing more than an intellectual husk out of the seminaries and schools and whatnot, that we might, through the light and understanding of Christ, perceive that which is beyond the veil and beyond the husk, to know the mind of the living God. Can you say amen? See, Satan is the prince of this world. Satan is the ruler of this world. Satan is the god of this world. Not Christ. Christ is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. I spoke last night of the powers that are in the air. You can't see them tonight. But over your head tonight in the air, there's nothing but spiritual powers of wickedness. Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If I have a little dispute with my neighbor, I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood, but I'm wrestling against principalities and powers that's in the high places. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, I'm wrestling against evil forces. Those evil forces use human intelligence. They use human understanding. And I find myself wrestling against those spiritual powers, trying to reach the soul of my brother and the soul of my fellow man. Hallelujah. The weapon of my warfare, it's not carnal, but it's mighty. Through the casting down of strongholds, the casting down of imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And David went so far as to say, to the intents of my heart, O God. All right, now let's look at it for just a minute. These powers that's over your head tonight, the powers, look at it like this. This world is not full of light. You know, we love to wake up in the morning, see the bright sunshine. We love to think that this is a beautiful world of light. But brothers and sisters, this world is not a world of light. But this world is a world of darkness. The entire world is in wickedness. The entire world is dark. See, God in the beginning, He did not reckon time from morning until evening, did He? We wake up in the morning and we say it is bright. It is a nice morning. And we look for a wholesome day over till the evening. But God didn't reckon time like that. God reckoned time in the book of Genesis from not morning till evening, but evening until morning. You see, with us, we wake up, it's a bright morning. But with God, ever since man fell from the garden, ever since man turned away from the mind of God, ever since he left the light that shined in the Shekinah of God, it's been a dark night. It's been a dark night. And God said from the evening, from the fall of mankind, from the evening over till the morning. You follow me? From the evening of the fall. From the intellectual reasoning of the carnal mind that was instigated by the tree of knowledge when Satan enticed Eve. It's been dark ever since. It's been dark ever since. You see what I'm saying? It's been dark ever since. This world is a world of darkness. Satan is the ruler of the world of darkness. What is darkness? Intellectual reasoning. To God, human thinking is foolishness. The Bible said in their wisdom, they didn't recognize God. So then their wisdom became foolishness to God. See, intellectual wandering in a wilderness, their soul, their life, their spirit, ever since the fall of mankind, has been going through a wilderness of darkness. So this world is dark. See, when is the morning? When is the morning? Calvary. Until the day star dawn within your heart. See the evening. All of the darkness. See, the world has never accepted Calvary. They're still in darkness. But you and I accepted Calvary. We accepted the Lord Jesus. See, until the day star dawn within your heart. How do you know that the sun is the day star? See, the sun is always called by science the day star. And the day star is typical of the Lord Jesus. He's the light of the day. And so then until the day star dawned within your heart, and Calvary was the breaking of the morning, to everyone that can believe, the day star has come forth as the revelation of Christ within your heart. But see, brothers, sisters, those that have never accepted Christ, those that have never believed, while they haven't come to the day star, it's still a dark night for them. So then when we come together in the church, see, we're in a world of darkness. What do we have to do? You know, the Bible tells us that the spirit of man, that is the candle of the Lord, and it's searching out the inward parts. For God desired truth in the inward parts. You know, used to, they didn't have anything but candlelight. Well, as a boy, all we had was lamplight. You know, you put a little oil in there for the candle to burn, or for the lamp to burn. On the outside, a lot of times, if the wick got sideways, it would get curling around, you know, and get smoky. After a while, the globe would get smoky, and you couldn't see the light. Then when the light went out, we'd all have to go to bed. But in the morning, Mom would pull off that globe and she'd take it over there, get a little detergent and she'd scrub away. And after a while, it'd be just as white and clear as it could be. Then she'd light the old lamp and she'd set it back on it. And instead of that globe doing away with the light, it would magnify the light and the light would fill the room. That's what's wrong with some of you tonight. See, your globe is smutty. The Bible said to trim up your faith. At the midnight cry, the cry came forth and told him, said, arise. Trim your wicks. Get up and trim your wicks, see? Get the soot off your globe. Put the oil in your vessel. Make sure that you're ready. At the midnight cry. So then what we need to do is get up, wash the globe, clean it up. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did you know tonight the church is failing in good works? Shouting, all right. Speaking in tongues, all right. Having miracles, doing everything, that seemed all right, coming together. But where is the brotherly kindness and the brotherly love? And where is the godliness and the virtue and the faith Christ asked for? Where is it at? Let men so see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. All right, so it's a dark night. What must I do? I have to light my little candle. You have to have your little candle lit. You know, they used to have candlelight services and everybody would bring a candle. See, you come in this world. It's dark. There's no light. But what do? Brother Eldridge, he lights his little candle. Brother Taylor lights his little candle. Brother Butler lights his little candle. Brother Pike lights his little candle. You light your little candle. And then we all come together and we put our little candles together and then we've got a great big body of light. See, and the darkness is repelled, and the darkness moves away. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that light, Jesus said, where two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We create a light, and then Christ steps out of the midst of it. We create a light, and the angels of God come together to fellowship in the midst of those candles. But I tell you what, unless the church can create a light, there won't be any visitation from God. Unless we can clean the shut of our globes, we won't have any visitation from God. Until we can get back to godly living and old-time Holy Ghost living, we're not going to have a visitation from God. Hallelujah. I don't mean this wrong, but did you know the Pope of Rome has got more respect for holiness in some ways than the church has. He even likes for the world to refer to him as his holiness. Did you know that? The world refers to the Pope as his holiness. But where is holiness in the church today? See, the Bible said God is the spirit of holiness and he is the spirit of light. He is the spirit of understanding. He is the spirit of the resurrection. Without him, there is no resurrection. Without the spirit of holiness, there is no hope. of eternal life. The great charismatic move of today, and sometimes I get a repercussion out of this. I know that there's godly people that's mixed up in the charismatic move, but the charismatic move is wrong. It is not teaching the people holiness. You cannot live like the world and dress like the world, act like the world, and be a child of God. He said, come out from among them and be a separate people. I will receive you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. That's where we need strength. That's where we need to get right with God. That's where we need to shape up and get the set off our glow. You say, Brother Pike, I love Jesus. I'm not questioning the fact that you love Jesus. Many people in the Baptist, Methodist, Charismatic, they love Jesus. But the Bible said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Come on now, what is His commandments? The Bible said, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah! Paul said, God, the Spirit of holiness, which I serve with my spirit. Oh, foolish Galatians, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit of holiness, that you now think that you can be made perfect by some man-made ordinance or coming together in some ritualistics or formality of this world? Hallelujah! You love Jesus? See, we must preach the gospel to every creature. One time is all that's required. We preach the gospel to them and then they are accountable to God. One time is all. God makes sure that every person hears the gospel at least one time. Hallelujah. After that, the judgments of God will come upon them. But see, until they are told the truth, the judgments cannot come upon them. Because they do not know, they do not understand. A lot of the evangelists of today don't bother to tell them. The evangelists are so afraid that they'll leave, so afraid that they won't come to their services, so afraid that they won't get their hands on their pocketbook and on their money, that they won't tell them the truth. Come on now. They're so afraid. Like a man out in Colorado one time, I talked to him, he was a great evangelist. I said, sir, you need to preach holiness to your people. He said, Brother Pike, said, if I preach that, said, I'll lose half of my congregation. I said, ain't that what it's all about? Isn't that what God said He would do, would separate the sheep from the goat? All of them are not going in. That's the purpose of the gospel. Hallelujah. All right. So then God said to Gideon, you've got too many men. Oh, Brother Gideon said, I'm having a real revival. Got lots of followers. He said, but all of them ain't with you. He said, you better cut them down. Cut them down pretty close. Got back down there, said, well, the revival ain't quite as great, but we still got quite a team. God said, there are too many of them. Cut them down again. And finally, God cut them down to just a few. And then He said, you got the victory now. We can win the battle now. Come on. As long as you got the golden wedge in the church, you can't win the battle. Is that right? See, the race is not to the swift, the battle's not to the strong, neither is the kingdom to the multitude. But when He got them down to just a few, then He said, fear not, little flock, it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. All right, just let me say just a few more words and we'll close. What are we then to do? We've got to realize that this world is darkness. Evil spirits are everywhere. And that Christ has brought to light immortality and the resurrection from the dead through the light of the glorious gospel. Having resurrected from the dead, having brought the keys back from hell, give the keys to the church. He stood up and by a knowledge, by an understanding, by a ministry, by a vocabulary expression, He brought to light, He brought to understanding a knowledge that now we are resurrected from the dead by the life of Jesus Christ. We who were dead in trespasses and sin, God has quickened us together by His Son, Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the Spirit, it doth quicken us. And listen to this now. The Bible said that Jesus, being put to death in the flesh. Come on now. It said Jesus being put to death in the flesh. Jesus Christ being put to death in the flesh. You follow me? He was put to death in the flesh that he might be resurrected by the Spirit. Put to death in the flesh. He suffered death in the flesh. Every member of the body of Jesus must suffer death in the flesh. We are always delivered unto death. As sheep led to the slaughter, in this we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave his life for us. Jesus being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The Bible said he went and preached to the souls in prison who sometimes waited in the long suffering of Noah. That means by the Holy Spirit he preached to the people for 120 years in the days of Noah. But they wouldn't listen and they went down, down, away from God. You follow me? He said, these that are dead also, being put to death in the flesh, condemned unto death, those that are in the grave, to be judged after the flesh by the law, put to death in the flesh. We are judged as men in the body. We are judged after the body by the law. And no man ever kept the law. No flesh can be justified by the law. So then, being judged as a man according to the deeds that my spirit does while it lives in this tabernacle, then I have been put to death. I've been judged to condemnation. I've been crucified. I've had the wrath of God poured out on me. And he that knew no sin was made my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So then he died for me. He took my place at Calvary and died out of the presence of God, that I might take his place as a righteous man and live in the presence of God. So today it's not me that's living, but Christ. And Paul said, reckon yourself to be dead indeed by the body of Jesus unto sin, alive unto God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Is that right? Listen, first that I counsel you to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. As men has been baptized into Christ, to put on Christ. I counsel you to buy me the raiment. What raiment? That was tried in the fire. What kind of raiment? The Lord Jesus Christ, that went through the burning flames of hell, passed through the flaming pit. Put ye on the garment, put ye on the raiment, put ye on the bride's garment. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. For I counsel you to buy me the raiment that was tried in the fire. I've got on the raiment tonight that was tried in the fire. I've got on the Lord Jesus tonight. Not me that's living, but the bride of Christ, hallelujah, in the beautiful garments of Zion. Anybody coming in without that garment will be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. So then the darkness is around you tonight. What are we going to do? Put on the Lord Jesus. Let our light so shine. Hallelujah. Have faith. Contend for the faith by which we are sanctified. The faith of Jesus Christ. Shut up under the law until the faith afterwards should be revealed. But beloved friend, today the faith has come. The faith of Jesus Christ. And by the faith and by his works and by what he hath done, he hath perfected me forever in the sight of my heavenly Father. And all I have to do tonight is believe in him. He said, let the weak say that I'm strong. If you're weak tonight, you take faith in what he did and say, glory to God, in the name of Jesus, I'm strong. Hallelujah! If tonight you've got problems and you got troubles and you feel like you just can't make it, you feel like that everybody has forsaken you, then the Bible said, we have done all to stand, have faith in Christ, and then stand. Hallelujah. Why? Because he is our strength. He has made unto us knowledge and wisdom. He has made unto us faith and life and hope. Christ, our Redeemer. Tonight, that's what we have from faith in Him. He won the race, and then He turned to the people, said, "Be of good cheer." Can you be of good cheer tonight? Let me see your hand if you can be of good cheer tonight. How can I be of good cheer? He didn't say, "Brother Pike, be of good cheer. You've overcome the world, son." Did He? He didn't say, "Brother Taylor, be of good cheer because you've overcome the world." He said, "Brother Pike, Brother Taylor, Brother Eldridge," He said, "be of good cheer because I have overcome the world." Can you rejoice in Him tonight? Hallelujah. Be of good cheer because He has overcome the world. So then, this is that overcometh the world, even the faith in Him that overcome the world. Is that right? Have you got faith in the overcomer tonight? They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony, which means they testified to the blood being effective in their life, and they overcome Satan. You want to stand with me? Thou canst believe in thine heart to the blood, and make confession from thy lips unto Christ to salvation, thou shalt be saved. I love you tonight. I praise the Lord for you. And we have to preach a little strong sometimes because these messages are not just to you, but they go on the radio, different places, and they go out to people all over the nation. And we have to tell it like it is, because people want to hear the gospel, Brother Butler. So I hope you'll share my enthusiasm for Jesus. Jehu said one time when Christ sent and anointed him, said, "Come and see my zeal for God. Come and see my zeal for God." Now let's share the enthusiasm for Christ tonight. Can you do it? "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven." Appreciate you being here with us tonight. Appreciate Brother Darrell's sister, Marcia, being down from over in Jacksonville or in that area. Appreciate her coming down tonight to be with us. I was hoping that Brother Darrell's mother and dad would make it, but they apparently didn't get down tonight. But we are trying to tell the people of Orlando about Jesus. Do you want to share in our testimony? Do you? Do you? Appreciate our brother back here in the back. Seemed like I might have seen him somewhere, but I can't place him tonight. Appreciate him being here with us. Let's lift our hands up, beloved. Just lift our hands up tonight. Let's worship Jesus for just a few minutes now. Just a few minutes. While they've got their hands in the air. If you want to be prayed for tonight, I'll pray for you. We took just a few minutes last night, and we prayed for people. And tonight, if you desire our prayer, we'll be glad to take a few minutes tonight and pray for you. We're going to sing this little chorus together. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Can you sing it with me? Every hour I need Thee. Sing it with me. I need Thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need Thee. Sing it one more time. I love Thee, Lord. I love Thee. Every hour I love Thee. I love Thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I love Thee. I sing like this. Oh, don't turn Him away. Oh,
turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. Sing it with me. Oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. I feel God tonight. I feel the Holy Spirit tonight dealing with souls. I feel the warm flow of Calvary. I feel the love of God tonight. I feel that wonderful presence of Jehovah, the great El Shaddai, Elohim, the day spring from on high, the light that is spring up out of darkness to them that have set in the regions of darkness, the great light of God, the Holy Spirit moving. I can feel Him breaking the yoke tonight. I feel Him doing something and talking to heart. For Jesus is here tonight. Jesus is here tonight. Hallelujah. While we worship, let's worship God. Let's believe tonight. Let's expect of God tonight, folks. Let's love Him tonight. And we pray for this gentleman here tonight. Let's believe. He needs help tonight. Let's believe. Father, tonight, oh, I feel faith, Jesus. I feel faith. Heal this man, Jesus. God, heal him tonight. Lord, you said if we'd have faith in your Son, whatever we ask in your name, you'd do it. And dear God, I believe you're doing it tonight. Hallelujah. I can't reason, Jesus. I can't lean to my own understanding. You said it, I believe it. That's the way it is. Father, as I pray for my brother tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus for the divine deliverance of his body tonight. I pray for the healing, dear God, that he needs in his spirit and body tonight. I ask you to heal him, Jesus. Make well. I cannot reason, Jesus. You said in your word that we lay hands on the sick and they recover. I accept it in Jesus' name. Father, as I pray for my brother tonight, dear God, we're not to reason, but to believe. Every evil force, every evil power, I come against it tonight in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Satan, I adjure thee in the name of Jesus by the spilt blood and by the stripes upon the back of my Lord to take your hands off of this boy. I command you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and plead the blood against you. In Jesus' name tonight, I speak healing and deliverance to this boy. Father, as I pray tonight for this mother, I pray in the name of Jesus tonight for the divine deliverance of the Spirit and her God for the healing of her body tonight. I'm asking you to do something special, Lord, in this life, and something special in these meetings, that it can be said when we're gone from here that it was revealed and healing came. I feel better and feel different. Hallelujah. And I pray for this sister tonight. All the troubles and conflicts of the home and the problems, I ask in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to rebuke the evil Heavenly Father, Lord, that is threatening this life. For, dear God, I see a threat in this life. Dear God, I see a threat in this life. Oh, God, and I'm asking you to protect this moment and take care of her in Jesus' name. I pray for my sister tonight in the name of Jesus. I ask you to touch her and heal her body tonight. Deliver her spirit from every evil that would confront her or try to overtake her. Father, be with her. Let the glory of your Son be here tonight. I feel faith, God, as I pray for my dear brother Eldridge.
I pray in the name of Jesus for strength and power and deliverance in this life, healing and security, oh God, that he might rejoice in the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, heal every fiber of the body. Move every sickness, dear God, every symptom, and give forth strength. Heal, Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah. As I pray for my sister tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, for the divine deliverance of the spirit of the soul, dear God. And I pray for the healing of her body tonight. I pray, dear God, that you touch her body tonight and give her special leadership in the spirit, Father, that she might walk in the fullness of your wonderful spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Can you say hallelujah? Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands again tonight. And I felt God do something tonight. I feel faith tonight. And I believe that we'll continue to believe in these services. Continue to pray and come back. Invite somebody to come to the house of God. The meeting will only be here through Sunday night. After Sunday night, we'll be gone, moving over to Dothan, Alabama. But I want you to pray that God will bless us. I want you to pray that people will come out to this meeting. I really expect this weekend, it may not be so, but I'm expecting a full house by or before this weekend. And I want you to pray. I'm praying that God will grant it. I'm praying that God will warm the weather up a little bit and give us a break and let the people come out to the services that they may be delivered. The Word of God delivers. Did you know that? The Bible said God sent His Word and healed them. And if I preach the Word and you believe it, God will heal you. So I'm praying and believing that God will do something special for you. Lift your hands up and let's love Him. Hallelujah. Father, once again tonight, I ask for your great blessing. I ask for your great touch upon these people. May the great Spirit of the living God move out through Orlando, Florida. And may these people receive a touch from God. Father, may thy Spirit visit the bedrooms of the people and trouble their hearts until they come out, Holy Father, and hear the wonderful words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, as I lift thy word up tonight, dear God, toward heaven, standing as a witness in Orlando, Florida, I pray thee, O God, that you will do something special in Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah.